Hello and welcome to episode 8 of series 5 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. I'm just going to give you a quick update on what we've got coming up in the future episodes of the show. In 2 weeks' time, on the 9th of April, I have an interview with Carlos A. Alvarenga. Carlos has written a book called The Rules of Persuasion, and in our interview, we looked at lots of different aspects of the use of persuasion in communications. Obviously, we want our communications to be persuasive, we want them to cut through the noise, and we want them to enact behaviour change. But Carlos is going to be telling us all about the science behind that, but also some of the risks that come with persuasion when used in manipulative situations as well. So really, really interesting conversation with someone who is extremely well-versed and knows a lot about the science of persuasion. So that's coming up on the 9th of April. And then on the 23rd of April, I have an interview with Christy Garcia. Christy is going to be telling us all about the role of ego in communication and how ego can play a part in the way that we communicate our messages and also can influence the impact that those messages have. So that's two episodes coming up in the next couple of shows, which are very much looking at more around the kind of the science and psychology of communication. So hopefully you'll find those interesting. Looking into the future, I've got some interviews coming up in beyond that, where we're going to be looking at how you can engage volunteers. So any of you working in volunteer organisations, you'll look forward to that. And then we've got a fantastic interview coming up in about in 4 shows' time, where we're going to be looking at how you can use music to engage employees, a completely new topic that we have not explored before. So I'm looking forward to that one. I'll tell you more about that in a couple of weeks' time. Anyway, let's get into this episode's interview. We've touched upon the use of AI, artificial intelligence, in internal communications a number of times on the show in previous series. We've both talked about it explicitly, but also within other conversations that we've had with guests. It is a topic that I wanted to come back to and explore in more detail to see how organizations are using AI in their internal communications. There's been a lot of reports in the media about content being generated by AI, but that isn't the only way that we can use AI in our internal communications. AI also plays a really important role in serving up the right content to the right audiences at the right time in the way they want it. And I think that's a really powerful use of AI that often gets overlooked because of ChatGPT and other ways that AI has been used to generate content. So in this episode, we're going to explore how AI can help us to get the right messages to the right people at the right time in the way that they want it. And we're also going to be using the analogy in so doing, looking at AI as being the plumbing or the pipework that can help us to deliver the content, our content within those pipes and then within that pipework to the right people at the right time, and leaving the content to us or to AI if we wish to use that as well. So that's what we're going to be exploring in this episode, how AI is impacting upon internal communications and how it can be also a fantastic tool for us to deliver and serve our audiences with the messages they want at the times they want them. So I hope you find this an enlightening interview. My guest today is Tariq Kamil. Tariq is CEO and founder of Circle, a tool which increases engagement and satisfaction. He leads a team who are passionate about using AI and big data to transform how organizations communicate, engage, and understand their audience. His mission is to bring intelligence and personalization to every content interaction, whether it's via email, web, or mobile. Tariq believes that AI is the secret weapon for all modern communication and is excited to share his vision and expertise with the world. So, hello, Tariq. How are you?
Craig, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And just for our listeners, I know we've had a conversation about this before we started recording, but just for our listeners, whereabouts in the world are you, Tariq?
I am located in Cincinnati, Ohio, which some know as the Queen City.
Ah, why is that? Why is it known as the Queen City?
Well, it's odd. Like everything in the United States, there are two Queen Cities, Charlotte and Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is the actual Queen City. It was dubbed that by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the poet, back in the 1800s. Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Oh, and there you go. There you go. You see, always you, not just engagement and employee engagement and internal communications advice. You get all sorts of things. And I know Cincinnati is the home of, if I'm correct, is the home of Kenner Toys. He used to make all the Star Wars toys back in the day, if I'm right. Oh, is that right?
That's an interesting piece of trivia. You are correct.
Yeah, so I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I know little bits of rubbish like that. So there you go. Well, maybe we'll pick that up on after we've finished recording. But yes, so I tell a little bit about your work there, and I guess we should point out that Circle is spelled CERKL. If anyone's looking for Tarek, we'll put some links in the show notes later on. But yeah, Tarek, tell us all about what you're doing now. A little bit more detail on what I've already said, but also what path led you to where you are now.
Sure, you know, it's interesting. I really knew nothing about employee communication, say 6 years ago. And the problem I originally set out to solve, Craig, was engagement in general. How do we drive engagement? And the genesis of that was through my kids' school. So I was serving on the school board here in Cincinnati. And, you know, my background is very technical. I like to use technology to solve problems and hopefully make the world a better place. So I originally set out, this is 10 years ago, to solve how can we get more people involved with our children's education in a way that's meaningful to them. And in order to do that, you have to break through all the noise. And I started really thinking deeply about this problem of disengagement. And if we go all the way back, it really is two converging factors. So if you think around 2007, the iPhone is released, and you have really the emergence of social media. These two things combined have created so much communication and content that people are literally drowning. It is hard to keep up with everything that's being thrown at you. And so I thought, why can we not use AI to filter through all the communication to tailor, in the same way Netflix is using AI to tailor your experience on TV, phone, laptop? Why can we not do the same thing with communication? So that's what I set out to solve in the beginning. It had nothing to do with really employee communication. It had nothing to do with building a business. It really just started from, I wish more people were engaged with our children's education.
So obviously that's it, as you've already alluded to, that's quite a big jump from that to what you're doing now. So I guess there was a lot of steps in between there. Do you want to kind of give us a little bit kind of synopsis of that, and then sort of start to talk a little bit more about maybe, you know, how Circle works and how this, the sort of tools that you've developed now are helping you achieve that goal?
Yes, you're right. You know, in any story, there are lots of steps and twists and turns, and this story is really no different. So that's where I started. And as I built this technology, so this for me was a fun project. So this is nights and weekends and building this technology to be able to tailor communication to the interests of the recipient. So if you think about how most communication is structured today, someone is deciding. Just take a newsletter. Any newsletter that you receive, someone is deciding what's the subject line, what's the first story, second story, all the way down. When does this go out? What day? What time? And then thousands of people receive that exact same communication. So someone is making a decision, trying to hit the middle of the bell curve. Well, with so much communication being thrown at people, you can't be shooting at the middle of a bell curve. You have to be super relevant. And so as I continued to refine this technology, that's what I learned. And so I rolled this out. Lots of marketers started to come to me and they were asking, could I use this for other purposes? I said, sure, yes, use it. And then a large healthcare organization here in Cincinnati came to me and asked, and I think they had 10,000 employees at the time, could we use this technology to tailor what each employee is receiving from our organization? Because we're really struggling to send personalized, tailored, relevant content to such a diverse audience. And if you think about healthcare as one example, you've got surgeons, you've got facilities, you've got IT, finance. They all care about very different things. They want to be communicated to in very different ways. And then you have the additional complexity of types of worker, right? So you've got people sitting behind a desk like IT and finance, and then you've got people actually out dealing with patients like nurses and doctors. And so they don't have access to an intranet and email, and it's not readily available to them. So how do we communicate and engage that type of worker as well? So it's extremely complex. This, in general, concept of internal communication is so complicated and difficult. I would argue with anyone that wants to argue with me that it is exponentially more complicated than what marketing is doing. Now, marketing might be dealing with larger audiences, but if you miss a sale, no one's going to lose their job or their benefits. Inside of an organization, you have this additional complexity of they must see this information. It is not optional. So as I learned more about what they're really dealing with in the world of employee communication, it to me became even more exciting. There is a real opportunity for us to change the relationship between the employer and the employee to make them feel valued and seen. And we should know more about our employees than Netflix does. We spend more time with them, but we don't. How can we use technology to level the playing field? So that's kind of the fast forward version of what led to our full focus on employee communication.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Thanks, Tarek. So we'll come back to that as well and talk a little bit more about how that works and how are you applying some of the, you know, the principles of communication to your work. Let's just maybe sort of dial back out a little bit then and maybe think a little bit more around our AI and the different types of AI that are being used for in internal communications. But maybe start even more broadly. I mean, what is what do we mean by AI? I mean, and we all know it means artificial intelligence, I guess. But what does it mean in this context of internal comms? And what sort of different types of AI are organizations starting to use in their internal comms when it comes to AI? Not just your tool, but other way forms of AI. I guess then we can go on to talk about the pros and cons. But let's just talk more generically about AI and internal comms at the moment, please, Tarek.
Absolutely. So how we think about it is there are really two classifications of communication that any organization is producing. So the first classification is I need Craig to know this piece of information. So it could have something to do with your benefits. It could be a message from the CEO. It could be product announcement, earnings announcement, new leadership change. That is not optional. That is not based on your interests. That is based on you being an employee here. You are required to understand X. Yeah. Great. Then you have another bucket of content, which is optional. It's not required for you to do your job effectively. But how do we match that content with what you care about as a human being? So if I think about the definition of success, so anyone that's thinking about communication within their organization, and I said, would you say you are successful if 100% of your people are both informed and engaged? Everyone would say yes to that. Yes, if they're all informed and engaged, I'm doing a great job. Great. So the informed part is tricky. How do we make sure they've seen what they need to know? That's being informed without overwhelming them. So here's another complexity with internal communication is that you've got multiple channels almost in every company. You've got email, intranet, collaboration like Teams or Slack. You've got mobile in certain instances.
newsletters. You've got all these different channels to communicate. The problem is, if I'm putting the same thing everywhere, Craig will eventually start to tune me out. I've already read that. It's not relevant to me. So they start to tune things out. We also see most organizations are overly reliant on email. The problem with that is you're sending important communication to the most congested channel of all time, which is the inbox. Yeah. Everyone has access to Craig's inbox. Marketers, friends, family, you name it. And by the way, here's a message from our CEO that's going to be mixed in with everything else. So that's problematic. So when we think about kind of where can AI really make a difference? So on the need to know information, AI can play a significant role in making sure that you're not seeing repetitive information. I've already read this here. Why are you sending me an email about something you know I've already read? So AI can handle all of that at scale. Great. The second piece is, what does Craig care about as a human being? And that's what Netflix is doing, and Amazon and Hulu and Spotify. They're all doing the same thing. They're learning about you based on your behavior, and then they're tailoring all future experiences and interactions based on what they continue to learn. Organizations, if they really want to engage at scale, have to be doing the same thing. And an example I would give is, let's say you work at a company and they're doing something in the community, giving back, volunteering, great. Well, that is not information you need to know to do your job, but there are certain workers at that company where that is going to be really powerful and meaningful because they care about giving back and volunteering. Well, that should be high priority content for that person. You might have a colleague that's maybe new to the community. It doesn't matter to them, or they're busy because it's, you know, they've got a young family. They don't have time. They care about very different things. So that content should be lower priority for that person. And that is where AI really shines in two aspects of solving these big problems. The first is need to know. Make sure you're not seeing it in multiple channels because you've already seen it. So it's always relevant and we're not seeing repetitive information. And the second is, how do we learn about someone's interests through their behavior? So we can constantly tailor the want to know information to that person. So as we see it, AI plays massive roles in scaling both being informed and being engaged.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I always operate on the basis of, communications being about what the employee wants to know and what the company wants me to know. And it's very much about getting that, helping to, like you say, your approach there fulfills that and does it in a very efficient way. So I guess you're, and I know it's such a broad area. And I think one of the areas that a lot of internal communicators are maybe not concerned about, but maybe, you know, kind of looking a little bit nervously over their shoulder perhaps about, is the generation of communications through AI. And so you're looking at serving information. What are your thoughts on using AI to actually generate content? And there's a lot of examples of this in the media at the moment, you know, machine written articles and, you know, videos and short content or long content as well. I mean, that's obviously, you know, I'm guessing that's not an area you're working in at the moment, but how do you see that panning out really in terms of its impact on internal communications?
That's such a great question and very timely. So we're getting that interest from communicators around the generation of content because of ChatGPT and Bard and others that have emerged. And it is phenomenal. I mean, if you've played around with any of these tools for any amount of time, it is mind-blowing how quickly we've seen advances in AI. And it's like with any new technology, it will get better over time. In the beginning, there are lots of things to be worried about. Is my caution. And the reason I say that is multifold, especially within an organization. You have to make sure that A, you have a policy within your organization about how these tools can and can't be used. We're already hearing horror stories of people within a company, and they are pasting confidential information into these tools, which those tools use to learn and can now spit that back to someone else. And it's causing issues. So I'm sure they will be able to resolve that through very walled off enterprise versions of ChatGPT and others. But number one is, do you have a policy in place? Great. Number two is, can you confirm that whatever you're saying to it is confidential and that you're allowed to tell it X, Y, and Z? Number three, it has to be fact-checked. So with any new technology, especially like this, we've seen the news stories about misinformation. So this was a big deal here in the United States last election around propaganda and misinformation. And that was before tools like this existed.
Yeah.
Now you can just, I mean, massively spin up lots and lots of content very, very quickly and spread that. The problem is it's not smart by itself. So you have to ask your question, how does it learn? It is learning based on what it's already out there on the internet and other sources. If any of that is factually incorrect, there's no way for these AI tools to know that this is actually wrong. And we're seeing examples of that where misinformation is being spread. I don't think this is ill-intentioned, but it's happening. So things that are factually incorrect are being spread. And so if you say, take a couple of things that we believe to be true. This makes the generation of content easier than it has ever been. I think everybody would agree with that. Then we're going to have more content online than we have ever had. And at the beginning of our conversation, we talked about how much content is being created. It was already bad starting in 2007. It's going to get exponentially worse because of tools like this. So if we believe content will be generated at an even faster pace, that means misinformation will be spread at a faster pace. And so I of course, being a technologist, I kind of see the future of course, this is going to be helpful to humanity and save us time and do all kinds of good things. But in the beginning, like any new technology, whether it's the advent of the automobile, in the beginning, I'm sure there were lots of issues with cars. Yeah. But did they overall help mankind? Yes.
Yeah.
The automobile did. I think we'll see the same thing with AI in this context of content generation. But it's early days. So the warning to communicators would be, use it for what it's really good for. If it's going to help you generate ideas, if it's going to help you check grammar, great. But make sure then you're taking the next steps of fact-checking, nothing confidential, basics right now. But we are definitely seeing communicators move towards it. We're also seeing communicators kind of worry, will this eliminate my job?
Yeah.
Right? That's the question we get with every technology. Will this eliminate my job? The answer is no. I don't think that will happen. You need humans. You need collaboration. You need to work with your business units. It's not there yet. Will it make it easier and allow you to do your work faster? I think yes. So overall, I think it's going to be good for us, but we're in such early days. We just need to be careful.
Yeah. 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 I've heard various, I mean, like building on what you were just saying there, I mean, I've heard various, you know, stories of things, but, you know, are factually incorrect that AI picks up on, and then that then creates more incorrect information, and then more and more AI pick. So it's kind of a snowball effect. So you're right, absolutely right around fact checking and not relying on AI for finding the truth for you. I think that is a particularly risky scenario where we start to sort of delegate our intelligence to AI and assume that AI always gets it right when all it's using is the plethora of information it can find, and it doesn't know whether that's right or wrong. So I think that's something we need to be definitely mindful of. And I've heard also horror stories of people, you know, kind of writing speeches for people using ChatGPT and kind of then wondering why this sounds really weird and not the way that a human being would speak. Let's go back and talk a little bit about use cases for how your particular solution is working. And, you know, we're not just going to talk about Circle, but obviously that's the thing that you know really well. Can you give us an example? I mean, you kind of illuminated us earlier with the idea that someone may get a piece of written content that is kind of, it knows whether I've read that before, but it also knows what I'm interested in as well. So are we talking purely like newsletters and you mentioned email. I'm intrigued as to see how this would work in email. I can imagine, but it'd be good if you could maybe elaborate on that, please, Tarek. So could you give us a couple of use cases for how you're using AI with your clients?
Sure, absolutely. So when we think about kind of what we do, we don't have anything to do with the content. We think of ourselves as more the pipes.
Yeah.
So okay. If you have great infrastructure for communication, what you want to push through those pipes is really up to you.
Yeah.
And once the infrastructure is in place for elegant, tailored, personalized communication, what we see more times than not, Craig, and this has always been, it's still to this day, surprising to me, we go from organizations which are so limiting in what they're saying because they don't want to overwhelm people or sending too much communication, too much email. Once the pipes are in place, they want more because people now are getting tailored experiences wherever they go. So let me give you an example. Let's say you have a message from the CEO.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about the last quarter. So here are my thoughts on the last quarter. And they want everyone to know this. So you're going to create the content. How it normally works in most organizations is they're working with one of the communications professionals. They build the communication. They will probably do two things. They will send an email to all employees, and they'll put this on an intranet. So it's part of the carousel, message from the CEO. And that's how most companies would handle that specific use case. Great.
Yeah.
So here's the issue with that. So let's say we need this message to go out Monday morning at 9 a.m. and they hit send. What happens to the person that starts at that organization 1 hour later? Right? Now you're hoping that they're going to go to the intranet and see this. What happens to the person that starts a week later? Because, you know, they cycle through content on the intranet. So it might be the lead story in the carousel today, but probably not tomorrow. How will they ever see this information? And what if I read it in the email? And now why am I seeing this as my lead story on the intranet? It doesn't make any sense. And it's very inefficient. So how would that look like where you've got the right communication infrastructure in place? Very different. So we have the message from the CEO. And we just hit, instead of send, they can go to broadcast, which of course is our tool, and hit publish.
Yeah.
Once they hit publish, they are done. We handle everything else. So once we hit publish, let's say Craig wakes up and doesn't check his email. Shame on you, Craig. But let's say you don't.
Yeah.
And you go to get your coffee in the morning, and let's say you're checking your corporate mobile app. And there is going to be a number one in your corporate mobile app because there's something you need to see that you haven't already seen yet. And let's say you click on it there and read it while you're waiting in line for your coffee. Great. Then you're not getting the email about it because you've already read it. It's not the first thing you see on the internet because you've already read it. Mm. It's not in Teams or Slack because you've already read it. So we already know Craig has consumed what we needed him to consume. Why are we filling other channels with information he has already seen? Now, let's say you skip that. You don't check the mobile app in the morning and you go to the intranet. Great. That's your lead story. There's a number one waiting for you. Craig, there's something you need to see that you haven't already seen. If you click on it there, it's not in your newsletter, not email, it goes away in your mobile app. So how do we use AI to connect the channels to deliver a personalized experience for Craig so he's seeing the things he needs to see without filling him with redundant information? I've already read this. And here's where it gets really elegant. That issue of what happens to the employee that starts an hour later or a week later, that content automatically flows to them because the rules are true. So when someone hits publish, we're asking them, who needs to see this? So you could say all employees, you could say only employees in North America, you could say only vice presidents and above, whatever, right? So they're setting the criteria of who the audience is. They're also saying, how long is this content valid? So if our CEO is talking about last quarter, we might say, hey, this is valid for the next 3 months. Great. So anyone that starts over the next 3 months, that content automatically flows to them because it's still true. This content needs to be seen by you. You haven't seen it and it has not expired. So that way you've got new employees that are getting the information they're supposed to know. They're caught up with the existing employees. They don't feel out of date and it's all scalable. We don't need humans to remember who are the new people that we've hired this week, this month, this quarter. Yeah. It's impossible for us to keep up. So that's where AI and technology allow us to really drive engagement and understanding without overwhelming. That's the tricky part.
And can people go back to, so you say I might have skimmed that article from the CEO while I was, you know, making my cup of coffee and I want to kind of, and then go back and, hey, well, hey, where's it gone? Is there a way to kind of, does it realize how much time you've actually spent on it and can you bookmark things or, because I guess that would be, for me, I always find that really frustrating on Facebook when I've kind of seen a post and then I kind of go away and do something and then I refresh Facebook and it's gone and I just can't find it anywhere because it's just disappeared into the ether. How do you deal with that sort of thing?
Great question. And yes, it is one of the most common things that we have heard from both employers and employees is, where is that?
Yeah.
And it's a strain on the system. It's a strain on the communicators and HR and other folks within the organization of, oh, let me send it to you again, or let me send you a link to it. Mm. So how we think about it is that should be tailored as well.
Yeah.
Everything that we've talked to Craig about, he should be able to go back and find in one place, regardless of the channel that it originated on. So maybe it was an email, maybe it was in Slack or Teams, maybe it was something in the internet, maybe it was an outside piece of content where you were referenced in Forbes magazine. And we want our employees to know that. Great. All of that information for that person should be in one place. So we do that. So if you've got 10,000 employees, there will be 10,000 what we call portals. So each employee has their own news portal. So they could go back and they could say, oh, I want to really dive into that, or I skimmed it before, or this is the use case that is most prevalent. I remember our organization saying something about tuition reimbursement. I remember seeing it, but I wasn't really paying attention at the time. But it's interesting to me now. I'm thinking about going back to school now. So they could go to their portal and they can just type in tuition reimbursement and it will bring up all news around that topic that that employee is allowed to see. So it solves so many issues around driving communication, understanding, engagement, and then making it easy for people to access the information when they need it, not when the company thinks it's necessarily important. Hey, we're changing the tuition reimbursement policy. Well, Craig doesn't care at the time, but he's going to care 6 months from now or a year from now. Great. How can he easily find that information? That's how we drive, you know, deep, meaningful relationships between employer and employee. We want you to be successful, but how do we do it without overwhelming you? That's the big struggle.
No, it's a good balance to strike, I think. And yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the thing that frustrates me most about Facebook is the search algorithm is so weird that you kind of type something in. I literally saw it 5 minutes ago. I've typed in the word that it was kind of, and I'm looking for recent posts that I've seen, and you're telling me it isn't there. I just imagined it. So yeah. Just generally then, Tarek, just sort of bringing things to a conclusion then, in terms of, you know, obviously Circle is it sounds like an amazing tool. In terms of, you know, how can internal communicators, not necessarily just Circle, but other tools out there, get the most from AI? I think you may have touched upon some of this already. You know, what should they be thinking about when they're thinking about using AI? What are some of the pitfalls and watch outs that they should be aware of, particularly someone who's maybe coming to this, you know, not having a great deal of experience, or maybe, you know, kind of first time they're dipping their toe into the water outside of maybe ChatGPT and that sort of thing. What are your thoughts on that, Tarek?
It's always interesting the first time we show someone what we do, because we really thought about it differently. We thought about what would it be like from a perfect world for both the employer and the employee. What's that experience look like? What's it feel like? And we built that. And so what happens when we first meet someone, they are thinking about it from how things have always been done.
Yeah.
Which is, we send a lot of email, and then I have to go to this platform and I have to rewrite the same thing. And then over here, and they're not thinking about the unintended consequence of layering on more and more channels is you're creating more and more noise for your employees. You're actually decreasing engagement. So they're having the opposite effect of what they're trying to do by adding more and more channels, unless you can use technology to tie it all together. So when we kind of wrap up one of these first sessions with someone, it's why I do what I do, Craig. It is my favorite thing is to watch them get excited about, wow, so I'm going to get better engagement. The content I write can live on and on so people can see it in perpetuity. For example, if you wrote a piece on health and wellness, well, that's not going to expire. And so now you get a lot of reach with your communication. And really the common thing that we see with internal communicators is they love telling stories. They love creating content. And they don't really get to do what they love because they're spending so much time feeding each channel and so much time answering, where is that? So we want to free them up to do what they actually love. And that is where, you know, they might not really understand AI, or it might be a scary concept to them. But when they think about it more from an automation perspective, I can just focus on creating great content. It's going to do all of the work of making sure people get what they need to see in the channel of their choice. Yes. And it's going to learn about their interests. Yes. And it's going to tell me what our employees actually care about. Yes. That is like light bulbs.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like, and I don't know if you remember this, maybe the first time you went from kind of watching regular TV to watching high definition.
Yeah.
VHS to DVD.
Yeah.
That kind of moment of where have you been my entire life?
Yeah.
That is why I love doing what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think your analogy that you used earlier is really a good metaphor to use in terms of the, you know, the plumbing and the pipe work, making that really intelligent and delivering where you want it to, the right content at the right time. And the content of those pipes is, you know, your business, you still, and so I think that, and again, that I'm sure that will indirectly or directly inform the contents of the pipes, knowing where the pipe's going to and how well it's plumbed and how accurate it can be. But in the long term, in the short term anyway, it's very much around, you know, delivery rather than the content itself. And I think that's a really good way of kind of differentiating those two different aspects of AI. And I think the two you get conflated at the minute, as we discussed earlier. So that's really, really helpful. So Tarek, just finally then, just wrapping up and summarizing, I mean, I think what you've done is you've really helped me understand, and hopefully the listeners as well understand, that sort of distinction between the way that AI can be used. And obviously you're very much into the delivery, and that's your tool, but also recognizing, you know, some of the opportunities that presents. And you're obviously clearly very excited about that. Just in terms of finding out more about your work, I mean, we're going to put a link into your LinkedIn profile, and also to Circle itself, if people want to have a look at that. Do you have any white papers or any research or any blogs or articles that people can dig out, Tarek, that if they want to have a deeper dive into this area?
Yes, of course. They can always go to Circle.com, CERKL.com. Mm-hmm. So much information out there, case studies, videos, testimonials that we have from our customers, kind of the before and after, I think is always interesting.
Yeah.
And I would say I love talking about this topic. Mm. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm happy. I love it, you know, when people get excited and they want to change the way things have always been done within their organization. It is hard. It is hard. And I forget which law of physics this is, but a body at rest tends to stay at rest.
Yeah.
And so unless you apply pressure and force on that organization, things will never change. Mm. And so where I get excited is helping the people that see how it should be. And they need someone behind them, helping them with language and examples and giving them confidence. I love that. Whether it's using Circle or not, it doesn't really matter to me. It is, if you see a future that is better than what we're doing today, you need people to help you get from here to there. So yes, I love having these conversations. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or any other way. Email, it doesn't really matter. You can reach me through our website. I want to help you. I get probably overly excited about how this should look.
Absolutely. No, and your passion has come across really strongly, Tarek. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you, you know, giving those insights that you've given us today, and really, really helping me. And I hope, and as I say, the listeners, I'm sure the listeners will find that a really useful way of thinking about AI and how they use it, but also challenging their own received wisdom, as it were. So look, Tarek, I'm going to say thank you so much for a really enlightening conversation there. Thank you for your time, and I wish you all the best, and we'll hopefully speak to you again soon. I'm sure we'll come back to AI at some point in the future. Maybe we'll have a panel discussion that we'll record on the show about it as well sometime in the future. But yeah, really, really hot topic, and one that I'm really pleased to discuss with you.
Craig, thank you. I appreciate the conversation. Would love to continue it anytime you would like. And you are a wonderful host.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you, Tarek. So thank you. And thank you. Thanks very much. And all the best, and enjoy the rest of this week and the rest of, we're recording this at the back end of 2023. It'll be going out in 2024, but enjoy the rest of this year.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you've got any ideas for episodes you'd like us to cover in future, you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can use the feedback form at engagingic.com. If you're not already subscribed to the show via your podcast platform, please do so. And if you could leave a review for us, that would be absolutely fantastic. We have links to other episodes at engagingic.com. All of our previous episodes are available there. And if you're interested in our visual communication services, our big pictures, our learning maps, our explainer videos, and also our live graphic recording, please get in touch with us again at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Thank you.